The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, after watching Fox News Channel last night, watch Tucker Carlson. I have one question that's been on my mind since yesterday afternoon. Are there any Republican governors in the United States of America who are willing to stand up to the sex and gender revolutionaries? Are there any Republican lawmakers in our midst who have the courage and the moral fortitude and the man parts or lady parts to stand up to these transgender radical activists? And I ask this because, by and large, we all thought that Governor Kristi Noem was going to be the standard bearer, was going to be the next generation of Make America Great Again lawmakers in this country. And unfortunately, that has turned out not to be the case. Governor Kristi Noem standing up to her own party, conservatives in her own party, and vetoing or refusing to sign legislation that would have protected biological women in sports and in locker rooms and bathrooms and shower stalls. And yet she gave in because big business bullied Governor Kristi Noem. And then yesterday, you folks in Arkansas, you must be livid over what your governor did yesterday. Now, the bad news is Governor Hutchinson vetoed legislation that would have banned genital mutilation. That's the bad news. The good news is that, fortunately, the Republican legislature overturned the governor's veto. But then your governor, last night on Fox News Channel, went out there and did an interview with Tucker Carlson. And I got to tell you something, folks. This was a disaster for your governor. He has been exposed as a Republican in name only. But even more so than that, he is an ignorant Republican in name only. He doesn't understand what it means to be a conservative. Now, Tucker Carlson took him to the woodshed last night. And I'm not even sure the governor understood what happened. But for the governor of Arkansas, a Republican, to stand before God and country and all of the Make America Great Again crowd and proclaim that Ronald Reagan would have done what he did, that's appalling. Cut number one, please.
Then why don't we allow 18-year-olds to drink beer in Arkansas? Why don't we allow them to get tattoos? Why don't we allow 15-year-olds to get married? You vetoed a bill that would have protected children, not adults, children, to whom a different standard applies, from a life-altering permanent procedure that has effects we can only guess at, but the early indication is they're very serious and very negative in some cases. And now you're telling me you do that because you're a friend of limited government? Okay, then why are we preventing kids from drinking? Sincere question. Or getting married? Sincere question. Having sex? They're not old enough to have sex, but they're old enough to be chemically castrated? How does that work exactly? I'll listen as you explain.
Well, thank you, Tucker. And first of all, these are difficult decisions. Do you want to listen to the medical profession? Do you want to listen to professional counselors? Do you want to listen to parents? Or do you want to leave all these decisions to the legislators that come from all different kinds of background? Yes, they're elected to represent you, but they do not necessarily make the right judgments for parents and for doctors in the most sensitive issues.
Why are we regulating the behavior of children at all if we're allowing children to decide? And by the way, I read a study today that showed the overwhelming majority of kids who do not take life-altering hormones in the end decide not to, quote, transition to a new sex.
So it's a fair point. This was a fascinating interview that Tucker Carlson gave last night. And again, Asa Hutchinson decided that he was going to go all in, and he was going to say that, you know what, Ronald Reagan, William F. Buckley Jr., yeah, the true conservatives, they would have done the exact same thing. Let's take a listen.
Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value, if you would tell us?
Well, first of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions. And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above health care?
Oh, shut up.
You know, that's how ludicrous it was. As a matter of fact, Ronald Reagan came back from the grave and actually told Asa Hutchinson to shut up. Good for you. Good for you, Gipper. I'm curious to know what the good people of Arkansas have to say about their governor today. And I'm curious to know what the rest of the nation says about the Arkansas governor today. You know, Tucker asked probably one of the most important questions. I don't think he got a straight answer. He asked the governor if he had gotten any pushback from big business. You know, Walmart is based in Arkansas. Tyson Foods, the chicken people, they're based in Arkansas. And the governor said no, he had not. And Tucker Carlson found that answer to be incredulous, and I do too. I believe big business is behind all of this. And I believe that your governor in Arkansas, ladies and gentlemen, is a coward. He's a chicken. And honestly, the Republicans in the state legislature, and we're going to be talking to one of them a little bit later on, the Republicans in the state legislature should impeach and remove this man from office. I know he's not running again. That's why he needs to be taught a lesson. He needs to be impeached. This is unacceptable behavior from anybody, especially a Republican. So look, we're going to get your thoughts on the interview that Hutchinson did yesterday with Tucker Carlson. We also want to welcome all this week our brand new listeners on KROF and KPEL in Lafayette, Louisiana, and WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Our toll-free telephone number is 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our website is toddstarnes.com. All sorts of great news information for you there. Our live show blog is up and running. And the reason why what's happening in Arkansas is so big on the national scene is that Republicans at this very moment are going through some sort of an identity crisis. And they are having to make a choice. Are they going to be Trump Republicans who are willing to take a stand and fight for what they believe in? Or are they going to be the same old Republicans who capitulate to the Democrats and big business and the LGBT mob? I mean, that is the ultimate question here. And for Asa Hutchinson to come out and say, well, this is an issue of limited government. Well, using that argument, Asa Hutchinson would have to be pro-choice. He could not support any pro-life legislation that would protect the lives of unborn babies if, in fact, he's all for limited government. But beyond that, can I just throw this out there? Look, this is America. You can be whatever you want to be. If you want to make out with a tree, you have that right. Watch out for the poison ivy. But you got that right as an American citizen. But here's my concern. Maybe, just maybe, and we should just wait. Just, you know, wait till the 3-year-old turns 18 years old and let the 18-year-old make the decision whether or not to chop off any of their private parts. Do you really think we need to be chopping off the private parts of 3-year-olds? All right, let's go to the phones here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this, and we don't do this normally, but I want to bring in 2 callers at the same time. This is Trey in Bryant, Arkansas, Mark in Little Rock, and both of you guys listening to us on KARN. Trey, Mark, say hello to each other.
Hey, Mark,
hey,
how's it going?
This is Mark.
Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on. And, Trey, I want to start with you. What was your reaction last night when you saw your governor on national television?
Well, I'll be flat out honest with you. I don't watch Fox News hardly anymore, but I was trying to flip it through. And then when I did, he was just starting the interview. So I watched the entire thing for the most part. And I'll be honest with you, I was just completely speechless. I was just like, you know, okay. Maybe Asa is going to give us a reason. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe he was going to put something out there. But, I mean, he was just annihilated. It was embarrassing. I mean, to be honest with you, his answers to Tucker's questions, a lot of them just didn't make any sense. It's kind of like, you know, that's the reason why Tucker kept on stopping. He's like, wait, you're not even answering the question. Will you please, you know, let's look at this in a more, you know, different perspective here. You know, and Asa just... Asa just couldn't handle it, and I was kind of embarrassed. To be honest with you, I kind of felt bad for Asa because he looked so bad last night.
Now, Mark, you seem to believe that the governor's true colors came out last night. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I'm saying is I think Asa is on the lower end of the spectrum of conservative. He's like a weak conservative. But look, Todd, we live in radical times. Look at what the left is doing. They're destroying everything they touch. It calls for radical measures. That's when we make laws like this. And to be honest, to use Buckley and Reagan as a standard, that's the wrong approach. They're not the standard. We have an objective standard of law, that is God's word, that tells us what's right and what's wrong. And he's already set that example out there, is that one man and one woman, that's the way he made it, that's the way it is, and that's what we have to operate by. We can't operate by subjective feelings. We have to operate by what we know. And we know that his law is true, and our laws in our country are based on his laws. And so this measure by the legislature to override his veto is the right action. At least they had a spine to stand up and say, this is wrong. I don't care what the medical professionals say. I don't care what parents say. There has to be a line that says, this is right, this is wrong. And this is a position where we have to say, we don't care what your feelings are. There are rights and wrongs, because it affects people's lives. Who come along, we don't even have the sense sometimes to even understand what they are.
Well, Mark, your governor, and Trey, I'm going to give you the last word here. Your governor, guys, pulled the, I mean, what he did was even worse than what Governor Kristi Noem did. I mean, we're talking about little children here that need to be protected from very dangerous surgeries. And Trey, I'm going to be honest with you. I just thought the governor was ignorant of the facts last night.
Well, it's not only that, but let me reiterate a little bit what Mark said here. The Bible also says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, it specifically says that. And, you know, to have a bill, to have some sort of, you know, procedure to actually, change a child in such way is just beyond me. But, yeah, like Mark was saying, I agree with everything that Mark was saying here. It's just, you know, I guess I would say that the true colors came out with Asa, but I'll kind of load up on that as well. Asa's kind of been this way for a while. This past year, especially with the whole COVID, with the COVID crisis, he was leaning so much more toward the left, in a lot of areas and a lot of things, making mask mandates and start closing down all these businesses while we were all suffering, especially business owners and so. Last night I was just appalled. But then again, when I think about it a little bit more, Todd, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. We've seen Republicans do this. We've seen Republicans try to turn the tide thinking that, you know, hey, this is the future of our country.
Well, Trey, they're not willing. These Republican lawmakers are not willing to make the hard decisions, which is what you and Mark have been saying. I mean, look at Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia, where he capitulated during the after the presidential election, during the U.S. Senate races. Now President Trump is saying that the voter ID law they did pass is watered down. It's lukewarm. There's really not much there. So I think the issue here is not just limited to South Dakota and Georgia and Arkansas. I think this is a big problem for the entire Republican Party. Mark, Trey, God bless you, and thank you for the calls. We got a couple of lines open now, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Richard in Little Rock, Arkansas. All right, Richard, what's your thought about your governor?
One of the biggest rhinos that I have seen in Arkansas in a long time. I mean, if you only knew how many of, like, the governor's task force are filled up with people from Tyson Foods and Walmart and stuff like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And every time that they pass a law or something here that should be backed up by a Republican, it's all watered down by the time he passes it. I mean, it's so watered down that it's useless. And it didn't surprise me one bit that he vetoed it because, I mean, he has followed the line of the left-wing people for years.
Well, Richard, again, I'm glad you brought up the business component of this because this is about big business. And when you look at Walmart and Tyson Foods and some of these other big companies coming out of Arkansas, they wield lots and lots of power. And the same thing happened in South Dakota. And I hope you folks out there are prepared for what's coming within the ranks of the Republican Party. There is going to be a culture war within the Republican Party. There are big business Republicans that are willing to forsake any of the LGBT issues. So, like, for example, what just happened in Arkansas. I'm telling you, folks, I believe your governor was pressured, was bullied by big business. This is what they do. And they know these Republican lawmakers are terrified. They're not willing to take the stand. They're just not willing to do that. But there is a culture war coming to the Republican Party, and you better be ready for this one because there are more LGBT-friendly, policy-friendly Republicans than you would imagine in the party right now, and they will capitulate. So all of you people of faith out there, you evangelical folk, those of you who believe marriage is between one man, one woman, that crowd, you guys are going to be in the minority when it comes to leadership within the Republican Party. And if you think this is going to get better, you better think again. Because the reason why these companies have gone woke, Delta, Coca-Cola, Nike, you want to know why these companies have gone woke? It's because of what they're being taught in their universities. Every single one of these companies controlled by radical HR departments. I was at Fox News Channel. I could tell you horror stories about some of the HR training that even we had to go through back in the day. It's unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. A couple of lines open. Callers from Gainesville and Lafayette, you guys get some prize packages today. We'll be right back. President Biden has a few things to say to all of you folks in Georgia. So all you folks listening to us across the Peach State, pay attention here. President Biden says you folks are stupid. Here's what the president said yesterday. President Biden said Georgia needs to smarten up to avoid businesses leaving the state over its new voting legislation. This is from FoxNews.com. The president says it's reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws that are just antithetical to who we are. So now you have Joe Biden tripling down and calling your new voter ID law a Jim Crow law. The president was also asked about whether or not they should move the masters from the state of Georgia. I mean, that would be sort of like moving the Georgia Bulldogs and sending them over to South Carolina. That's ridiculous. But again, the president here is in hot water because a lot of Democrats in Georgia are furious because these decisions are hurting black voters. They're hurting black business owners. They're the ones that are suffering as a result of these laws. Anyway, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868. Let's go back to the phones here. Cray, listening to us on KARN in Little Rock, wants to weigh in on his governor. Hey, Cray.
Hey, Todd. Good to talk to you. I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I wanted to try maybe give a little insight as to why Asa Hutchinson makes some of the decisions that he does. We have a local talk show that comes on right after your show, and he's been talking about this for quite some time, that it seems like Asa is trying to get a position on the board at Walmart. And, of course, Walmart has gone extremely woke. I think Sam Walton would turn over in his grave if he actually knew what was going on with his company.
I would not be surprised by that. I mean, and by the way, Doc Washburn is a great American patriot, and he is a well-known talk radio host, not just in Little Rock, but all over America. So you guys are blessed to have him there. But, you know, it's interesting when Cray, when you look at the compensation packages for Walmart and their board of directors, I mean, that's, what, $175,000, something along those lines. I mean, it's a lot of money here. So there could be something to that, that Hutchinson is trying to play nice and try not to stir the pot. I do know that something very similar is happening in Memphis, Tennessee, where the Republican Party in this part of the state does not want to ruffle feathers. They don't want to cause any problems because the Democrats control everything, and they want to be able to get in on some of those big money contracts.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as the Republican Party, I think they really have a dilemma. I don't agree with them going woke whatsoever. They were elected to represent the people and the people's will, not their own agenda. But that seems to be where we're at this point. But, you know, I believe the Republicans are just not standing up because they're feeling pressured to go woke and bow to the trends of major industry and big money in America.
They're
looking out for their political career more than they are for what's right or wrong.
And their bank account, Cray. I mean, keep in mind, the Republican Party was the party of, you know, it was the Rockefeller Republicans, the party of big business, country club Republicans. And look, nothing wrong with that, nothing at all. But we are a much larger party now, and there has to be room in the party for working class people. But beyond that, We have to hold our elected leaders accountable, and they can't. You know, these people, we do not elect them to serve big business. That's not who they answer to. They answer to we the people. Cray, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Thank you for listening to us. All right, let's go to Yana. And Yana, I understand you are retired military.
Yes, it's Yana, and I am retired military. I've been listening to this Asa Hutchinson thing. He wasn't misinformed. He knew that the bill was straight down the line, that it was just to protect people under 18, and he chose to do it anyway. And I believe that he was paid off by somebody. He doesn't have the everyday people in his sight. He is, thank goodness, he can't be reelected because he wouldn't win either way. I there, she is going to win hands down. She is going to have probably 90% of the vote in Arkansas because she cares about the people, not about the paycheck.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right there, Yana. And Sarah Sanders is going to be a great governor for the state of Arkansas. And she's going to be a person who stands on her values and her principles. And she has a history of doing that. So, again, this is why I think the Republicans in Arkansas have a unique opportunity here. They can send a message to the rest of the nation that if you defy the base of the party, there's a price to pay. You're out of here, Governor Asa Hutchinson. Yana, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Cleveland, Georgia. Phil is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Phil. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm very good.
Oh, you know what, Phil? We're going to put you on hold. We've got a bad phone connection, so let's put Phil on hold, and we'll get back to him. Don't go anywhere, Phil. Let's go to Fran in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Fran. What's on your mind today?
Well, I don't know if you remember back far enough to when Sam Walton led the charge in the country on doing away with the blue law, which said that you couldn't have a business operating on Sunday so that everybody went to church. And Sam led the charge to do away with that law.
Well, that was before my time, friend, so I'm going to have to take your word for it on that. So you're saying that that's a bad thing or a good thing?
That's a bad thing that he did that. The blue law should have been never repealed.
So you think the businesses should have been forced to shut down on Sundays?
Absolutely.
Well,
it always was. We're a Christian nation. We're supposed to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah, but the Christian nation gives you the right to live your life how you see fit, right?
Yeah, well, they better figure out real quick because there's only two forces in the world. You're either on the side of Jesus or you're on the side of Satan.
So I'm trying to follow where you're going here, Fran. So if you have a business, well, I know Chick-fil-A is shut down on Sunday, but they do that not because the government tells them to do it. That's what they decided to do as a business. So if a business is open on Sunday, are they against Jesus?
Well, yeah, because if people go shopping instead of going to church.
Well, can't you go to church in the morning and go shopping in the afternoon?
Yeah, but that's not what they're doing. Walmart has pushed it for years, you know, with their store system and so forth, to shop on Sunday.
Well, I think you and I are going to disagree on that. I think people have a right to decide if they want to go to church on Sunday, they want to go to Walmart on Sunday. Honest with you, Fran, I kind of wish Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday so I could pull through the drive-thru on the way to church, but I don't think that makes me a bad Christian. So, Fran, thanks for the call. Well, Grace, that could explain the Easter videos going at $6.66 down at the Walmart.
Gosh, well, I'm not going to Walmart that early in the morning. I go to Walmart in the afternoon. If I don't go to church on a Sunday, that means I am sleeping, not because I'm going to some store to go shop. That's for sure.
I'm not sure you're going to hell if you go to the grocery store on Sunday.
I don't think so. Sometimes you got to go.
Sometimes you got to go.
I don't have what I need. And what if you're sick and you need medicine? You got to go get it.
It's a fair point. There you go. All right. 844-747-8868. We've got Phil. Hang tight, Phil. Don't go anywhere. Chuck in Jonesboro coming up as well. A couple of lines are open. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
You're listening to Todd Stearns.
You know, I think I may have figured this out, folks. Maybe it's just possible that Governor Asa Hutchinson, the reason why he did not have the courage, the reason why he did not man up is maybe he got rid of his man parts. Maybe he went through the gender reassignment surgery. Welcome back to the show. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, this just coming in. President Biden is expected to unveil executive action on gun control tomorrow. That's coming from Politico. We will we'll see if we can get some more intel on that. That being said, sometime between today and tomorrow, you might want to head over to your local gun store and stock up and make sure you are prepared. You know, I've been reading this this book. I'm not a big fan of novels, but when I do read a novel, I love the political thrillers. And Joel Rosenberg, huge fan of Joel Rosenberg. We got to get him on the program sometime. Now living with his family in Israel, but just an incredible writer. But Stephen Kuntz has a book out, and it's been out for a long time, called Liberty's Last Stand. And this is it's a terrific book, and it's the president. The fictional president is a guy named Barry Sotero. Anybody, does that name ring a bell? Anyway, the book sets up the premise that the president has used terrorist attacks on American soil to take away our freedoms, to declare martial law and round up all the conservatives. You know, the host, Fox News host, all of them, throw them into concentration camps. Then the state of Texas declares its independence from America. There is a war. It's a fascinating, fascinating novel. And as I'm reading this, you can certainly see where we are going as a country. Just like Joel Rosenberg's books predicted what was happening in the Middle East, even though they were novels. Stephen Kuntz's book, Liberty's Last Stand, I would recommend it. It came out a couple of years ago. It's about 2016, but it's a pretty amazing book, and the parallels between the fictionalized account of the socialist takeover of America and what's happening today is frightening. All right, let's go back to the phones. Phil, Cleveland, Georgia, we're going to try this again. How's it going, Phil?
It's going good, Todd. How are you doing?
You're coming in loud and clear, my friend.
Awesome. Hey, you are exactly right about what's going on when you talk about the money with the Republicans. We've got good people in Georgia that get elected. And when you get up there, you have to follow the hierarchy. And you can see right now what they're doing with this infrastructure bill, which is a joke. They're going to tell everybody, the Republicans, we're going to sit over here on the sideline, and we're going to let this go through, and we're going to let the whole country see how bad this is. And then in 2022, we're going to win elections. Well, in the meantime, we're going $2 trillion in debt. We can't pay what we owe right now. They don't care about the country. They're all sitting up there. They're getting their health care. They're getting their pensions. Their kids are getting jobs. In the meantime, the rest of the country is suffering, and it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. They've lost sight of why they went there in the first place. And like you say on Friday, everybody, go to church.
That's it. So, you know, we love telling folks to do that because that is the answer to what's happening in our country right now. People just aren't going to church.
Definitely, it is definitely the answer.
Indeed. Indeed. Phil, God bless you and welcome to the program. Give us a holler back one of these days, would you?
I'll do it. And when you come back down here, we'll get some barbecue.
Oh, all right. Now, hey, now, don't toy with me, Phil. We'll definitely have some barbecue. By the way, folks, we are heading to Cleveland, Georgia. That is the home of Truett McConnell University. Every year we do a big scholarship banquet at Truett, and we're bringing in our good friend Sarah Sanders. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be the keynote speaker and an opportunity for you to meet her, shake her hand, and even get your picture made. And you can even say howdy do to me because I'll be emceeing the big event coming up very soon. If you'd like information, just drop us a note on our Facebook fan page. All right, let's go to Chuck in Jonesboro, Arkansas, just across the mighty Mississippi River. Hi, Chuck, what's going on?
Hey, Brother Todd. You know, Arkansas, Mississippi,
West Virginia and some other states, we've always been in the bottom of anything that was, you know, good for the country, or in the top five of that the rest, you know, we've always been kind of together. And this puts us on the top of anything that's good now. Now, one thing Governor Hutchinson did do, he did sign the stop abortion bill in Arkansas, and the schools now, when you register to play sports, you have to register what your birth certificate says.
But Chuck, using the governor's own logic that he used last night, why would he have done that? You talk about government intervention. That is government intervention. And the governor last night said, well, we're not about government intervention. You know, we just want to let the people live their lives. Let the doctors decide.
Yes, sir. And I agree 100% with Trey and Doc yesterday that what he's looking at is a seat on Walmart. And, you know, Walmart now, you go in their stores, and everybody's got their vest on, got the rainbow colors on the back of it. And the grandson of Mr. Walton has come out for the LGBTQXYZ1234s. You know, he's for that now.
So we call them the alphabet people.
They're in bed with these people.
Well, geez, Alou. Thanks for that visual, Chuck. Appreciate that. you know, the only rainbow I like are the Skittles. You know, you get all the different colors of the Skittles. That's a rainbow for me. Chuck, appreciate the call. I hear what you're saying. I'm telling you, the radical LGBT activist, you don't want to mess around with those people. They'll come after you. And that's why these Republicans, they don't want the fight. You know, us, hey, I'm happy to fight. You know what? That's what we do. And they are very well funded, they are very powerful, and they are very influential, and especially within the Republican Party. And so the question now is, will there be a place for folks like us in the Republican Party? And I don't believe that Asa Hutchinson and Kristi Noem are just the anomalies. I think there are a lot more Republican governors who share their lack of courage and their lack of fortitude. And that's a big problem. Geez, Alou, where did this hour go to? Wow, we've already got to take a break here, folks. Hang tight if you're on the line. We're going to get to your calls. Our good friend Michael Knowles is going to be here from the Daily Wire. He's going to drop by, talk politics of the day. Also, Senator Jason Rapert from the state of Arkansas, he's going to join us as well and let us know what Republicans are up to in Arkansas. By the way, You're not supposed to shake hands anymore. That's according to USA Today. We're going to get into that. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. ToddStearns.com. That's our website. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's what gets me about Georgia's voter ID law. You know, so yesterday, Joe Biden out there saying, this is a modern-day Jim Crow law. All right, well, if that's the case, why is it that a majority of black voters in Georgia actually approve of the law? I would love for someone up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to explain that to me. Anyway, just a final thought from the last hour of the program. Welcome to hour two of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Always fun to have you guys with us. We want to welcome our brand new affiliates this week, WDUN out of Gainesville, Georgia, and KROF out of Lafayette, Louisiana. And callers from both of those radio stations, you guys are going to get great prize packages if you call in and make it on air today. Go ahead and write down our toll-free number, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Well, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, good friend of this program and has a terrific podcast and radio show, Michael Knowles. Michael, how's it going?
It's going very well, Todd. Thank you for having me.
I got to tell you something, Michael. I was taking a break during the commercials and came into the control room, and Grace, my lovely call screener, I mean, she has handled calls from the vice president on down. I mean, everybody calls. And she tells me, she says, Todd, Michael Knowles is on the line, and I'm a little starstruck.
That, you know, sometimes people say that flattery will get one nowhere, but I do not think that's true. Flattery will get people very, very far as I'm concerned. So thank her very much for me.
Well, I'll do that. She's glaring at me right now, but I'll be sure to pass that along. You know, you've been covering a lot of issues, and one of the things that I saw that you shared a couple of hours ago, we've been watching this the Derek Chauvin trial up in Minneapolis, and Shapiro makes a really good point here. If you watch the trial and then you watch the media coverage, it's like night and day. And when you're watching the actual evidence being presented, it's very possible that the police officer could be acquitted here.
Of course, and I think that's been the case the whole time. I think this is why the local officials were trying to make preemptive payments to George Floyd's family and to these activists. I think this is why BLM and prominent voices in BLM have already made threats basically to burn out the country if the officer is not acquitted. It's because they don't feel very confident. The evidence will bear out their narrative, you know, from the very beginning of this story, the left constructed a narrative that George Floyd is this totally innocent guy who was targeted and murdered by a racist cop on the basis of his race, and he did nothing wrong, and the cop did everything wrong. And of course, the reality is inevitably going to be more complicated than that, and it would appear especially so here. So now, you know, the rubber is going to meet the road. The left-wing narrative that propelled a terrorist movement in this country for a year is going to come up against the facts in court. Does this mean that the officer is going to be let off the hook entirely? Maybe not. I suppose he could be, but it may even be a lesser conviction on, say, manslaughter instead of murder. Even if that's the case, given what the left has done to this story, I suspect you'll still see rioting, even if he goes to jail for some lesser charge.
Well, we had a Black Lives Matter activist just a few days ago say as much, that cities would burn if the cop is not found guilty. You've heard people on CNN and MSDNC insinuate the same thing. And I'm with you. I think the cop will face some sort of a penalty. The police chief said that the knee to the neck was not part of their procedures. But there was testimony from another officer who said it, in fact, was. So we're going to, you know, again, my philosophy is let's wait and see. Let's get all the evidence. Let's hear the case. Let the jury decide, and we can go from there. But clearly, the Antifa and BLM side, they've already convicted this guy, and there's going to be hell to pay if it doesn't go their way.
Well, this is a good test of one's political premises, because I love what you just said, Todd. I totally agree with you. When I see a big sensational story like this, my first reaction is not, he's guilty or he's innocent. My first reaction is, all right, well, let's see what plays out. Because I understand that this is not a hopelessly bigoted, awful country where, as LeBron James said, black men can't leave their homes without being hunted down by racist whites. That's just not happening. And so I assume that in the vast majority, not statistically, maybe 100% of these stories, it's going to be complicated. Whereas, for the left, they really believe this narrative. They bought into this idea that there's such a thing as white supremacy, and it dominates the country. And so they've jumped to their conclusion. Nothing will ever prove them wrong. You know, they're frequently wrong, but they're never in doubt here. So it just seems to me, if I were on the left, and time and time and time again, the evidence contradicted the narrative that I was so dead set on, I might start to question my premises, but then I suppose I would no longer be on the left.
All right. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, conservative superstar Michael Knowles. Michael, you've got a terrific column up at dailywire.com. In the last hour, we were talking about this bizarre interview last night, Tucker Carlson, Asa Hutchinson. We have a lot of listeners in Arkansas. And people are just disgusted. They're tired of Republican governors capitulating. Kristi Noem, you had Brian Kemp in the election debacle. And you are writing about a very important issue. You're saying Republican governors have to oppose vaccine passports or they can forget about 2024.
Absolutely. And you've seen Ron DeSantis, who among the Republican governors is the most politically sophisticated. I think he sees best where the country is going. And so he's positioned himself very well for 2024. And this is an issue, by the way, that's going to affect the Republican governors. Already you've heard the White House say there's not going to be a vaccine mandate from that level. So the senators who are interested in 2024 are sort of off the hook here. But among the governors, DeSantis came out and he said, we're not going to have a state-mandated vaccine passport. And he has even intimated that the state will not permit private companies to require a vaccine passport. So, you know, to go into a bar or a restaurant or something like that. Afterward, you heard Tate Reeves in Mississippi, who's also been terrific on this issue. He said there won't be a state mandate, and he implied, I think, a little less forcefully, but it was still there, that he won't let the private companies do it either. Then just yesterday, you got Greg Abbott in Texas, who said there will not be a state mandate, but he was silent on the matter of private companies. And I think it's really important here to hold these Republican governors' feet to the fire. There are 27 Republican governors in the country. All of them need to come out right now, not just against the state mandates, which of course they should, but against permitting private companies to do this as well. Because even Mitch McConnell, who is as much of an establishmentarian as you see in the Republican Party, is very effective too, but he came out yesterday and he said, you know, just because we have these notions of the free market or we make an idol out of that, we cannot allow woke corporations to set up a parallel government. We cannot permit that. I totally agree, and I think the governors need to get on board.
Well said. Michael, real quick before we let you go, you've got a book coming out very soon. Tell us about the new project.
The book is called Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. This is my second book, but it's my first book with words. It's available now for pre-order, and you can also pre-order an autographed first edition copy. The point of Speechless, it's funny because I think I go a little harder at the squishy conservative. Even at the leftists, is to point out that the left has attained a lot of power using political correctness over 100 years now. They've been really smart about it, and I analyze some of the ways they did it and some of their thinkers. But the reason that the more we fight, the worse PC seems to get is because it creates a trap for conservatives, whereby we either become squishes and accept their new standards, or we get rid of our own standards altogether in the name of, say, I don't know, free speech absolutism. But the whole point of PC is to destroy our old standards. It's a campaign for the ruthless criticism of all that exists. Out of it, we get things like critical theory and critical race theory. So either way the conservatives react, PC wins. And the answer to this is we need to start articulating our own substantive moral and political vision for politics. I think a lot of squishy conservatives are not going to like it, but I hope that the book is widely read by everyone else.
And there are actual words in this one.
This is the most shocking part of it.
I'm stunned.
It takes a lot longer.
I have to admit, my book with actual words came out around the time yours without words did not or came out, and I think yours sold more copies. And I may have thought very unpleasant thoughts about you, Michael Knowles.
You know, I went for an economy of words in that book.
Well said. Well, good luck, and we're going to get you back and talk about the book. It comes out June 22nd. Folks, you can pre-order it right now. Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. We have a link to Michael's book on our live show blog. Michael, always good hearing from you.
Thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate being with you.
All right. Good man right there, folks. And he is worth listening to. So if you don't subscribe to his podcast, you really should. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Grace, are you still mad with me? I felt a connection there.
I'm not mad. I just was like, oh my gosh. And then I couldn't respond. And
I've never seen you starstruck before, though.
I'm trying to think. I've been starstruck. I was starstruck with Kaylee McEnany. She was another one.
Well, there you go. But people are always very complimentary most of the time. They're like, oh, you have a great call screener.
Oh, except when I'm short with them, apparently.
You are short-tempered. I will say that.
Yeah, you work with me every day. You know I'm a really angry person.
Those redheads, you know.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Patrick in Louisiana, our first caller from KROF in Lafayette. Hey, Patrick, how are you today?
Todd, where are your peppers? I've been railing against this political correctness stuff for a long time, and I agree with Michael Knowles about this must show your vaccination passport. I've had my vaccination, both doses, and I will never voluntarily show a passport. Not going to do that.
You see, I'm with you, Patrick. I'm an American citizen. You know what my passport is? It's called the United States Constitution.
Yes, sir. Oh, I have a clean joke for you, Todd. I stole this from a radio ad. Why is the basketball court all wet?
Well, I don't know. Why is the basketball court all wet, Patrick?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow. This is what we can expect from Lafayette, Patrick. Well, look,
pretty corny, but
Patrick, we're excited that you guys are part of the radio family now, and don't be a stranger and invite your friends to tune in, and we'd love to hear from more folks out there in Cajun country.
I'll do it.
All right, Patrick, hang tight. Don't go anywhere, Patrick. Grace is going to get your info, and we want to send you a nice prize package. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, this little item has come into our newsroom. United Airlines, very concerned about the skin color of their pilots. So United says they are planning to implement new procedures, and over the next decade, they want 50% of their pilots to be women of color, to be women or people of color. The airline made the announcement on Twitter saying our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. That's why we plan for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color. Now, a couple of things here. So is United admitting that they are intentionally rejecting women and people of color from their flight schools? Is that what United Airlines is telling us? Or maybe, just maybe, the fact of the matter is that the reason why more pilots are white is because more white people are wanting to be pilots and they're going into the training program. I mean, if you're going to go down that route, maybe we should be asking, why aren't there more white people in the National Basketball Association? I mean, seriously. I mean, if United Airlines says we want 50% of our, so we want 50% of our pilots to be non-white, would it be wrong for the head of the NBA to say, you know what, folks, what is the, what's the diversity of the NBA? Is it maybe what, 30%? 30% white? So maybe the head of the NBA should say, you know what? We're going to make sure that 50% of all NBA players are white. Yes, Kyle.
All right, so I just looked it up. 75% black, 17% white, and 2% Latino. That is the NBA diversity.
Thank you. There you go. You know what? I got to tell you, folks, the NBA does not sound very diverse to me. Doesn't sound very woke to me. So, in the spirit of wokeness, maybe, just maybe, the NBA should be 50% white and 50% black, or people of color. Or, and just bear with me for a moment, or just maybe, the NBA should pick the best players, no matter their skin color. And maybe, just maybe, the reason why there are 75% black players in the NBA, it's because those are the best basketball players. So maybe, just maybe, over at United Airlines, the reason why there is a majority of white airline pilots, because they're the best for the job. They're the best pilots out there. They just know how to do their job. It has nothing to do with skin color. So the next time you get on board a United Airlines, your pilot may or may not actually be competent, because you won't know if they were actually hired for their ability or if they were hired for their skin color. Welcome to the new woke America. Unbelievable. There you go. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Our website is toddstearns.com. Be sure to check out our newsletter. We've got the podcast, all sorts of great things for you, free of charge, courtesy of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back. Former Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent is jumping into the controversy over the move of the All-Star Game. And Faye Vincent says Major League Baseball cannot become a weapon in the culture war. And he's absolutely right here. I mean, this is about a game. And there was a time in America where you could go to a baseball game, you could go to a football game, you could sit down, you could have a great time with friends, the people that you were seated around. You had no idea what their politics were. You didn't care about any of that. It was about the game. It was about cheering on your team. It was about heckling the other side. It was about camaraderie. It was about being a fan. And now you have to pledge allegiance to some sort of a political ideology. I mean, this is nuts, folks. It's absolutely nuts. And it's tearing this country apart. So I'm glad that Faye Vincent is speaking out here, and I'm hoping that people of Major League Baseball are hearing what the American people are saying. This has to stop. By the way, just want to point this out. Atlanta, Georgia, 54% black. Denver, Colorado, barely 10% black. What does that tell you about the move? You know, again, the mainstream media, all about optics. Major League Baseball, all about optics. Doesn't sound very woke to me, America. Well, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us a great congresswoman from Florida, Kat Kamak. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, thank you. And we're sort of maneuvering through this cultural chaos with Major League Baseball and, of course, what's happening with your governor, who's really caught up in all of this with the 60 Minutes attack, Congresswoman.
Yes.
This is the time where we have to stand firm in our beliefs.
Absolutely. I mean, it's despicable. I had an opportunity to watch the unedited version of 60 Minutes. And when you look at just the purposely manipulate and just distract from the real issue, and didn't even do the due diligence of talking with our former emergency management director, Jared Moskowitz, who himself is a Democrat, who has done a phenomenal job in deploying vaccines across the state of Florida. They didn't talk to him. They refused to talk to him. They wanted to make this a political hit job because they see a governor who is on the rise, a presidential contender, really, and they were doing everything they could to make this a hit piece, not focusing on the facts. And the fact of the matter is Florida is leading the nation when it comes to vaccine deployment in our response to COVID and how we can make sure that our most vulnerable receive the vaccines first in the most efficient manner possible, utilizing private-public partnership. And it's just disgusting. It's like you said, you know, this woke culture is killing America as we know it.
And your governor, unlike other Republican governors across the country, the governor of Florida is actually doing it the right way. And I hope people are paying attention. Yeah. You cannot give an inch. You stand your ground. If you are in the right, you stand your ground and you defend yourself. And that's what this governor is doing. And now the media is coming after him, Congresswoman, because he's defending himself. Well, he's just taking advantage of our bad reporting.
Exactly. It's just disgusting. This is the woke mob, the ultra-liberal left media, and all they're doing is pushing for headlines and ratings. The more outrageous the headline, the more eyeballs are going to see it. And it's just clickbait. This is all it is. And people fall for it. At the end of the day, it's all about the dollars. And they know that if they can enrage Americans to the point where they're just going to constantly be clicking on these stories, no matter if it's factual or not, they're going to do it. And so we have got to get smarter. We have got to be faster, harder on pushing back on this ultra-liberal narrative that the left has so perfectly manipulated and deployed out there in the mainstream media.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Congresswoman Kat Kamak from Florida. Congresswoman, I know the other day you had a big town hall meeting. What are you hearing from your constituents, and what's the top issue on their minds?
You know, it's interesting. We've done a couple of teletown halls with our constituents. One of the most efficient ways to talk with our folks. And I have to tell you, election integrity is top of mind for not just my constituents, but constituents all across America. You know, as I am talking to you right now, I am on our southwest border with two of my great colleagues, freshman colleagues from Kansas, Tracy Mann and Jake LaTurner. And we've been, for the last 48 hours, touring what's happening down here. And we've talked about what our constituents are curious about, what they care about, and it's election integrity. They want Republicans to stand up and push back. And I think collectively across the country, you're seeing Americans that are just sick and tired of beating the other side. They want to get things done. And that's why we're so focused on taking the House back in 2 years.
When you during your tour of the border, we've been hearing, we heard from Congressman Ted Budd yesterday. There's great concern about the children that are just being dropped off, literally dropped off, kids in tears. It's just a horrible scene down there. Is that really happening?
It is. It is. And in fact, I just put you on speaker so my two colleagues can hear you. We're on our way to the airport. So you got a 3-for-1 package right now.
Well, wait. Hold on, Congressman. Tell us who's in the car with you.
I've got Tracy Mann from the great state of Kansas, one of my freshman colleagues, and Jake LaTurner, also from Kansas. And we are three freshmen representing the House Homeland Security Committee and House Agriculture Committee. And we've been down here for about 48 hours. And collectively, we toured the Donna Processing Facility yesterday. We saw firsthand young girls under the age of 10 that had been gang raped. We saw the facility they call TOPS, which is really just an area underneath a bridge where they have put up some construction infrastructure, some fencing, and they're processing folks that are walking up. In fact, while we were standing there talking to the Border Patrol agents, there was a group of kids that just walked up. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like this. And the thing that sticks out is the cartel controls the border. If you are coming to the United States, you pay the cartel. No matter where you come from, they will take a piece of it. And they are making so much money. It is absolutely unconscionable, the human trafficking that's taking place. It breaks your heart. But more than anything, it should piss every American off, because this is a travesty. This is a crisis. And the fact that this administration is too spineless to call it what it is, that right there tells you that they are not fit to lead, and that's why we have to take the House back and then the White House in 4 years.
You know, Tracy and Jake, we've got a huge audience, especially in Kansas, a lot of listeners in the Wichita area. I'm curious what you are hearing from your constituents specifically about the border. Do they consider that to be a big issue for them?
Yeah, very much so. People are concerned about it. People are horrified and angry, as are we, when we see these kids and people are getting taken advantage of. We have an open border right now, which is completely unacceptable for the United States of America.
Well, look, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say the people in the 2nd Congressional District in Kansas are mortified by what they see on TV. They want something done about it. The expectations of the American people are insanely reasonable. They want a secure border. They want to make sure that we don't have drugs flowing in. They want to make certain that we aren't empowering the cartel on the Mexican side of the border, and that's what this administration is doing. We have to fix it. We have to change it. We need the administration to step up and admit what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, well said. Well said. All right, well, folks, we're going to have to let you guys go, so you're heading to the airport. Who's driving? Is somebody violating the law by talking on the cell phone while driving?
No, we are very lucky. We have our chiefs with us, so you've got three members and three chiefs, and we're currently en route from one facility
and the whole team's doing a great job. And I got the Customs and Border Patrol agents in the field, on the border, and air and marine units, they're doing a phenomenal job with the limited resources that they have. So we're taking all this information back to our districts as well as to Washington, and we're going to get our colleagues down here to see firsthand this humanitarian crisis and this national security crisis that's unfolding.
Well said. Well said. Kat Kammack, also Tracy Mann and Jake LaTurner, thank you all very much. Safe travels back to your districts and to Washington, D.C., and thanks for fighting for the American people.
Absolutely. You have a good one.
All right. You too. There you go. You never know what's going to happen on the Todd Sturge radio program. You know, the interesting thing, what was it, a couple of years ago, we had Matt Schlapp on, Congressman, or not Congressman, but Matt Schlapp, Chairman of the American Conservative Union. And he was doing one of these phone interviews. He was driving, and he told us ahead of time, Todd, I'm driving. I got to get to a meeting, so we're going to have to do the interview in the car. We're doing the interview, and all of a sudden, I hear sirens. And Schlapp is getting pulled over live on our radio program. And so we offered to talk to the cop to try to get him out of the ticket, but the phone line went dead. So we don't know what happened there. But anyway, again, you just never know. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks, and I really appreciate the words of Kat Kammack. I mean, it's not very often you hear a congressperson say that the American people are pissed off. But my question is, are you ticked off? Are you frustrated by what's happening at our border? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Sturge Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
So just to let you guys know, we're very excited to announce the next big book project coming out in June. It's my very first devotion book, and I'm sort of excited about this one. I do a lot of political nonfiction books, and we've got another one coming out next year. But this year, I wanted to release a devotion book, and it's a fun collection of Southern and country-themed stories called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And a lot of our listeners, you guys submitted recipes, and the book is filled with recipes, those stories, some great Bible verses. And we would love for you to pre-order a copy. And you can do that by going to wherever you get your books. I would recommend a locally owned bookstore, and they always appreciate your support. But just pre-order, you can do it again wherever you buy your books. So, Avery and Grace, I was reading a story on USA Today, and
boy, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, Grace's microphone is not on. So let's get that figured out, and just turn those mics off, please. Thank you. So, USA Today has a story out about handshakes and personal greetings. And they're calling for an end to hugs and cheek kisses and handshakes. The newspaper, USA Today, embracing Dr. Anthony Fauci's declaration that Americans should never again shake hands. The newspaper published a serious essay calling on the country to consider other ways to personally greet one another. So they went so far, and we have the video, we have the photographs up on our website, toddsturns.com. They are actually showing you what you should do instead of offering up a handshake. So, Avery, they're telling us that we should either consider hand-waving at people, or we should do a hand across the chest, I guess like we're pledging allegiance.
I've seen that one. That one's. I saw that one. That one's kind of cool because that's like what a bunch of people do in like movies, like where differing kingdoms or whatever see each other. They put their hand over their chest and they bow their head or something like that. That seems kind of cool. But I mean, like I like those movies and stuff like that, but I don't necessarily want to live in them all the time.
We also do that for the Pledge of Allegiance, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's what gets me, and I've had a big problem with this because I'm a handshaker. I mean, this is what I do. But now it's when you go up to greet somebody and you stick out your hand and then they want to do the fist bump, and that's sort of awkward. And then you've got some of these people that'll throw up an elbow. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been like a whole bunch of people that I've been meeting recently. Like, I haven't received an elbow. I've received like one or two fist bumps. I'm for the most part, I'm still handshaking people just because that's respectful. That's what I've been taught to do since I was a youngin. And so I don't necessarily plan on stopping. I definitely sure as heck will not be doing a foot shake.
No, and I was going to get to that in just a minute, Avery. So they want you to also consider doing a head bow. So you walk up to somebody and you bow your head. And what is is it namaste?
Namaste. That's a yoga thing.
Is that where you like greet somebody like you're praying and you bow your head?
I have no idea, really. Like, I have a good friend of mine back home in Georgia. He and I do that to each other just as a joke. But, like, I have no idea, like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Because, like, the only person that I will clasp my hands together and bow my head to is the good Lord. And so I don't plan on doing
good
that
for
as
you.
Well for anybody else.
As
Not
well
even
you
God,
should.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, no, no. Look, as well you should. and then they don't want you to do the cheek kisses. And I'm okay with that. That was
100% all right with that as well.
That was a big thing in New York City. So I'll never forget.
Really?
Yes. Suzanne Scott, who is the head of Fox News Channel now, at the time she and I were very good friends before she made it to the big leagues, and we were good friends. And the first time I met her, you know, we greeted and it was like an embrace, and then that was the first time I got the side cheek kiss, which was really like a cheek air kiss.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's like a huge thing north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Really? Well, that just shows I haven't really traveled
it's
past
just
north the Mason-Dixon line.
It's very awkward. I mean, if you're in the South, you're going to get a slobber knocker.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, if anyone goes in that close, yeah, you're going to get something else and something on the cheek.
But here's what gets me. So they also want you to consider doing a foot shake. So you're going up to a stranger, and basically you're tapping their toe.
It's not a dance. You're not dancing with somebody. You're greeting someone. It's a formal greeting. The problem that I have with these is just that I understand it can be for germs or whatever. But here with the other thing that I have been seeing, I saw a meme on the internet a couple of months ago. Like, you know, what we were doing in the past, you know, before pre-pandemic, everybody was shaking the hands, you know, and then now we're doing the elbow tap. But Todd, where does everybody cough? Right now, where are you supposed to cough when you cover your mouth?
Well, it's right into your elbow, the sleeve there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, Lord knows what kind of germs are lurking about.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem personal. Like, all of these just seem like kind of like a joke-ish, especially the foot shake. That's just I don't want to be doing the hokey pokey when I meet somebody.
Yeah,
I
don't think that's...
I want to be professional. I want to say, hello, my name is Avery Bryson. I'm about to be 20 years old, which that's a whole other topic, but we'll talk about that later. Just, you know, hi, this is me. I'm going to look you in the eye. I respect you as a person, and I will even give you a handshake, something like that.
But you and I both know, because you are from the Baptist faith tradition, and you're from the Deep South, and know that when you go to church, you're getting hugged.
You are getting hugged, yeah, and I mean, I'm slowly getting out of my phase where if someone gives me a hug, I'm going to hug them right back. But I'm not really. I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want to go hug someone.
Yeah, I do the side hug. I don't do the full frontal. You come up from the side. So
that's the homeschool boy hug right there. You don't go full frontal. You side hug. I have a friend who is homeschooled, so I can make that joke.
No full frontal. And I will say this as we go to break. If you are a guy and you give another guy a toe tap, without his permission, don't be surprised if that guy's other foot goes somewhere else.
I mean, it's just bound to happen. Bound to happen.
Indeed. All right, folks, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
So why don't we allow 18-year-olds to drink beer in Arkansas? Why don't we allow them to get tattoos? Why don't we allow 15-year-olds to get married? You're allowing, you vetoed a bill that would have protected children, not adults, children, to whom a different standard applies, from a life-altering permanent procedure that has effects we can only guess at, but the early indication is they're very serious and very negative in some cases. And now you're telling me you do that because you're a friend of limited government? Okay, then why are we preventing kids from drinking? Sincere question. Or getting married? Sincere question. Having sex? They're not old enough to have sex, but they're old enough to be chemically castrated? How does that work exactly? I'll listen as you explain.
Well, thank you, Tucker. And first of all, these are difficult decisions. Do you want to listen to the medical profession? Do you want to listen to professional counselors? Do you want to listen to parents? Or do you want to leave all these decisions to the legislators that come from all different kinds of background? Yes, they're elected to represent you, but they do not necessarily make the right judgments for parents and for doctors in the most sensitive issues.
Why are we regulating the behavior of children at all if we're allowing children to decide? And by the way, I read a study today that showed the overwhelming majority of kids who do not take life-altering hormones in the end decide not to, quote, transition to a new sex.
All right, that was the explosive interview last night on Fox News Channel, Tucker Carlson and the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson. And folks, it was pretty appalling and pretty disgusting. And I have to imagine that a good many Republicans in the state of Arkansas were just as disgusted by what they saw and what they heard. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us State Senator Jason Rapert. And Senator, you have been on this program before. You're a great American patriot. I want to get your reaction when you saw that interview last night.
Well, I appreciate you, Todd, for having me on, and I will tell you this. I was disappointed, but I was very well educated, and for that, I'm a better person today. I don't know what to say other than the fact that I want to take up for the integrity and for the judgment of the Arkansas legislature. And I think that based upon the will of the people of Arkansas, the Arkansas legislature has much better judgment than Governor Asa Hutchinson on this issue. It doesn't take one very long to understand, just as your opening teaser had on there. We prevent people that are minors, young people below 18, from doing any number of things. And why would it not be prudent and reasonable to say, wait until you're of an age that you can make a decision for yourself, rather than allow a five-year-old child have his penis actually surgically removed, or have a teenage girl have her breast permanently and forever removed from her body when she really doesn't even understand, and the young boy would not understand what's happening. Tucker Carlson did the state of Arkansas and the nation a favor by having the governor answer for this, because it really is puzzling to me when we sit through hours of testimony on these issues, listen to our constituents in our hometowns that we represent, to have the governor say that we really just don't understand. You know, I've heard that from the left enough, and I'll be doggone if I'm going to listen to that from a governor that is raising his nose in arrogance to say that we don't understand what the people of Arkansas want. I'm proud that we protected kids in our state rather than be a state that would allow these leftists with their woke mentality to use these children for their own political ideas and their own political opinions, to say that they are more than God, that they're better than God, that they could literally change the sex of a person. Which, by the way, Todd, I will tell you, if you want a medical opinion, I will give this one to you, Governor Hutchinson. Dr. McHugh, head of the psychiatric department at Johns Hopkins University, said a few years ago, it is impossible to change the sex of a person. All you're doing is making a feminized male or a masculinized female. Todd, it really was sad for me, because I had never heard him speak his mind on this issue like this, and it was really a disappointment.
I mean, listening to the governor, Senator, he was making the Democrats' argument for why a woman should have an abortion, be able to kill her unborn child in America. That's what the governor was doing last night. It was just unbelievable. But it was, I mean, go ahead, and then I've got a question for you.
Well, I do. I want to say one thing that was interesting. You know, Tucker asked if he had heard from corporate interests. Well, Todd, I can tell you that yesterday I sat down with a colleague of mine who got a direct message from one of our corporate titans here in Arkansas. And we also know that there was a message put out from the Walton Foundation that was telling people to stand with Governor Hutchinson. Whether he got a direct phone call or not, I think it's a little bit a stretch to say that there wasn't corporate pressure. There absolutely is corporate pressure. And what's happened in America, Todd, is these corporations have literally bowed down through corporate extortion. You see, these LGBTQ organizations, the BLM organizations in America, they have gone one by one to these companies, Todd, and they have threatened them that if you don't give us money or you don't adopt us a little affinity group inside of your corporation, we're going to boycott you. We're going to cancel you. And so guess what? They folded in. Now they use the arm, and they're using shareholders' money, Todd, to put out messaging that is trying to influence the politics of our nation in really detrimental ways. And I'll tell you this. I'm pretty upset about this, as you could tell. But let me tell you, we love everybody. I am an ordained Christian minister. I'm running for lieutenant governor, as you know, over here. And I've served the people of Arkansas since 2011 when I was first sworn into office in the Arkansas Senate. And I'm going to tell you, I do care for those children. And you know what? I love them enough to know that, young man or young woman, you don't need to do this. We're going to counsel you. We're going to help you be exactly what God made you to be, rather than send them down a road that will forever change their life, in many cases sterilize them where they can't even have children. And I would just, like I say, I'm disappointed, but I'm also at the same time very educated, because I'm glad to know what I'm dealing with. And what I've learned last night is that I don't need to be seeking my counsel from Governor Hutchinson when it comes to social conservative issues at this point.
Senator, I am curious what sort of recourse you guys have. I know that you guys overturned the governor's veto. He is not running. But is there any thought to impeaching the governor or having him removed from office?
It's funny you ask that. This morning, my first call from an 80-plus-year-old constituent in our state was, can we impeach Governor Hutchinson over this? I also have had people contact me about recall. In Arkansas, obviously, there is no recall for the governor's office. He's only going to be in office a few more months. And as far as impeachment, that is not this situation. Having a difference of opinion, obviously, on a political issue or any issue like this, that it does not rise to an impeachable offense. And all I can say is that we're a free country and people can decide to believe what they want to. But when it comes to a decision that is altering children's lives, and again, we understand that many of these, Dr. McHugh said, to quote a doctor again, he said that gender dysphoria is truly a mental disorder, Todd, and we should be giving counseling to them. But what's happened is that the liberal elites, and may I say, just be frank about it, the godless in our nation, have taken up positions of power, and they are making decisions that puts themselves in the place of God. In fact, I will tell you, I'm so disgusted, because there's a vast segment of the godless in our country, especially the Democrats in Washington, D.C., they hold up Sodom and Gomorrah as a goal to be achieved rather than a sin to be shunned. And so it's really a sad time in our country. And I'll say one last thing. I am a conservative Republican, conservative socially and conservative fiscally. And I want you to know, people don't have to twist my arm to do the right thing when it comes to voting on issues that make common sense and also, frankly, I think deals with a biblical worldview. And I think that our governor was given horrible, horrible advice here. Whoever swayed him in this way did him a tremendous disservice, because he's had a great history, but these last few days have shown that we got real trouble.
All right. Well, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the update. It's unfortunate that this governor cannot be punished for betraying his party and the good people, the good citizens of Arkansas. But as you said, he is leaving office, and he leaves so in a shameful way. And I think history is going to remember what this man did. And let's just hope and pray the next governor of Arkansas will be a person of her word. So,
well, I welcome people to reach out to me as well, Todd, and let me know. We're currently in session. I want to hear from them. They can simply reach me at jasonraper.com. Reach out to me. Let me know your thoughts, because I've had a friendship and a good relationship dealing with Governor Hutchinson, but I've let it be known I cannot support him on this issue and issues of this kind that are related. And Todd, thank you for being a conservative voice. Thank you for standing up constantly for biblical worldview. We appreciate you over here.
All right. Senator Jason Rapert, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, great lawmaker there. And there you have it. So you guys have an opportunity coming up to make some big decisions in Arkansas. Send a message to the rest of the country that we're not going to tolerate this kind of nonsense.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Now, there's an interesting story out of Utah, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So, in Utah, fathers are now legally obliged to pay half the cost of a mother's medical care related to pregnancy and delivery. This is from the BBC, why Utah is making men pay women's pregnancy cost. The legislation passed with bipartisan support, but it raises questions about the cost of parenting in the United States, as well as the state's growing roster of pro-life legislation. I correct that typo for the BBC. Pro-life BBC, not anti-abortion. Utah's shared medical cost law requires biological fathers to pay half of a mother's insurance premiums, her monthly health insurance costs during pregnancy, as well as all other related medical expenses, including the birth of a child. For U.S. women with insurance, giving birth cost about $4,500. That's out-of-pocket money, according to a study in the Health Affairs Journal. So, look, here's my philosophy. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but my philosophy is it takes two to tango. I'll just leave that there. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phone lines. Pastor John in Ohio, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Todd, thanks for taking my call. Now, I was going to give you an abbreviation of Dr. Fauci's name, but I wanted to tell you something, you and your staff there. I hope they're listening. I learned in a Bible seminar one time, they said, the family is God's smallest battle formation. Todd, what you've done for your listeners is you've given us a bigger battle formation. You've taught us to not give up hope. And so what you've done is you've extended a battle formation, and what you've done is help us get the ammunition to fight against, as that distinguished senator said, against this woke culture. And I know, you know, I was supposed to give you a little comical relief, but I needed to tell you that because it just hit me just, you know, like a ton of bricks. You've given us more ammunition to fight against an enemy, godless people, and I wanted to thank you and your staff for that from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of my family's heart, and from the bottom, because I'm an associate pastor now, from the bottom of our church's heart and our congregants.
Well, John, those are very kind words, and thank you. And look, we take this seriously. We have a lot of fun on this radio show, but you know, yeah, we also talk about the big important issues of the day. And ultimately, you can holler and scream and you can march in Washington all you want to, and you are never going to change the culture until it happens in your local towns and communities first. But beyond that, until it happens in your local home first. That's where it has to start. Ronald Reagan said that American greatness, American exceptionalism, starts at the breakfast table. This idea that mom and dad have a role in raising up that next generation of American patriot. And far too many moms and dads have abdicated that responsibility. If we had moms and dads in America that were as passionate about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as they are about taking their kid to a soccer game, which is completely meaningless in the great scheme of things, completely meaningless, then we would be a much better country than we are right now. But again, it shows you where the priorities are. Pastor John, got to run. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Real quick before we go to break, and this probably should have been a breaking news story. I don't know why it's not, but it should be. There's a ketchup shortage in America, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not good. According to the Wall Street Journal, ketchup shortages are now hitting restaurants across the country. Many restaurants no longer have those little packets of ketchup. This is a big deal for the Stearns family. One of our family members, I will not name his name, but he loves ketchup so much he actually brings a bottle of his own ketchup to restaurants. I kid you not. But apparently, there, for whatever reason, there is now, oh, it's the pandemic. They're blaming it on the China virus. So what are we supposed to do, bring our own now? Bring your own condiments to Wendy's or McDonald's? Jeez, Lou. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, my beloved family member who loves ketchup sent me a text message, horrified. Not the ketchup! Not the ketchup! It's okay. We're going to get through it together, America. It's a global pandemic. What are you going to do? All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us today. Want to welcome all of our great new affiliates, and we're adding more. Just in the past week, we've gone from 72 affiliates to 86, and that's making our call screener very busy, but that's a good thing. 844-747-8868. If you are calling from KROF in Lafayette, Louisiana, or Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, you get a great prize package, a way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. We're going to be honoring some other brand new affiliates next week. But today we're celebrating KROF and WDUN. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always honored to have the First Lady of Conservatism, Mercedes Schlapp. She is a senior fellow at the American Conservative Union. Hey, Mercedes, how's it going today?
It's the 9-year-old Lucia who's like belting and singing some sort of song.
Well, you know what? It's good to have a soundtrack every now and again. So.
No kidding, I tell you. I just don't know where to hide in the house. That's a different story.
It's all good. Who were we? Oh, it was Sarah Carter. We had Sarah Carter on a couple of weeks ago.
Her dog
just took over the whole show.
Oh, I love it.
Wouldn't stop barking. So.
Aww.
Mercedes, a lot going on around the country, and, you know, we've been following Governor Ron DeSantis. I have to tell you, I am really impressed with how he's been handling himself through the pandemic and now with this brutal attack from 60 Minutes. Pretty unbelievable.
You know, it's interesting because Matt has been saying this for some time. my husband, Matt, he calls DeSantis America's governor. And I think that there's so much truth to that. I think that what we find in DeSantis is someone who really is unafraid. He's willing to take on his critics. He's not going to back down. He's not going to apologize. He actually sounds very much like our former President Trump in a lot of ways. And at the same time, you know, he really has honed in on reopening up America in a safe and responsible way, reopening up Florida, I should say, in a safe and responsible way so that Floridians can get back to work, kids can get back to school, and he's not going to take it. He's not going to take it from the left. He's not going to take it from the liberal media. You know, I know that in my dealings with 60 Minutes and what we used to see with the president is that they would heavily edit the interview. It always would come out as, a very skewed, one-sided interview. And I just got to the point that I just remember saying, I don't know why we do this stuff, because it's always the same product over and over again coming out of 60 Minutes.
No, look, it's a fair point you raise. And again, this goes back to the polling that shows why people do not trust the mainstream media. And even when confronted with the overwhelming evidence that they got the story wrong, you know, CBS is up there defending themselves, just like they did when they pulled this with George W. Bush back 2008 to 2007.
Right. I mean, I think that their tactics don't change. It's actually surprising, I think, for CBS to not want to, basically either retract the story or apologize. It's not what they're going to do. I mean, they're not going to stand down. They really are going to stick by their story and by the correspondent. It's just what they're showing is a very false narrative of basically saying because Publix, mind you, I used to shop in Publix when I lived in Florida. My parents still shop in Publix. That, that the family gave this money to the PAC, and therefore that's why it was a pay-for-play, and that's just not accurate. I mean, Publix, just like all these other organizations like CVS and Walgreens and all these other businesses, they're all getting these vaccines and working to ensure that they're able to distribute the vaccines as quickly as possible to, now I know Florida's expanded to those 18 and over, and I just think that it just shows that they're going to try to do everything they can. And when I say they, the left-wing media, the Democrats are going to do everything they can to try to destroy these very successful leaders in our party.
I will say this, though. In the last hour, we had a freshman congresswoman, Kat Kamak from Florida. She's at the border with two other freshman lawmakers. And they seem to have embraced the spirit of Donald Trump. And I'm encouraged by the younger lawmakers coming up. And I really do hope that they have embraced this spirit of a political warrior that President Trump was and is.
Well, when I worked at the White House with President Trump and we saw firsthand what the Border Patrol agents would go through on a daily basis when they were dealing with a lot of influx of illegal immigrants to the border and the amount of stress that they had. And it's when the president really understood, and he would say, I know that a lot of the Americans would chant, build the wall, but the president did more than just work on getting the funds to build the wall. He ensured that the Border Patrol agents had the technology they needed to do their jobs. He sent a very clear message to these Central American countries that are basically saying, we're not going to send you foreign aid until you clean up your act and make sure you don't keep sending people illegally, basically empowering the drug cartels, empowering the human smugglers, and also then got and cooperated very effectively with the Mexican government, where they put in place these migration protocol policies that we know worked. Meaning that if you were trying to come to the United States, guess what? You wouldn't just be in the United States. You would end up doing your asylum paperwork in Mexico. And so what we ended up finding is that they were able to decrease the flow into the United States. Now what we're seeing is a very weak Joe Biden, who is speaking from two sides of his mouth, basically saying, don't come to the U.S. But every indication from his policies and the actions he's taken – It's basically sending a message to come to the U.S. And so when you see these heartbreaking videos, like the one that went viral yesterday of this boy, he's maybe 9 years old. He's as young as my youngest is. They're crying because the group left him. He doesn't have his mother. He doesn't have his father. He's in the middle of nowhere. And this Border Patrol agent basically finds him. And this boy is sobbing. And you're saying, how can this be? How can this be that the Biden administration has allowed for this humanitarian crisis to get worse? And that's why I really think the American people are waking up to this and saying that we're not going to take this much longer. The Democrats and Republicans have to come together to stop this and act. My thing is, what I've learned with Democrats is they never want to negotiate with Republicans on anything to do with immigration.
It's true. It's true. Well, Mercedes, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Mercedes Schlapp, ladies and gentlemen, from American Conservative Union. They put together the great CPAC convention every year. By the way, President Trump on Maria Bartiromo, I've said Maria Bartiromo's, Heather Childers show. And Heather is a good friend of mine, and she is a great daughter of the state of North Carolina. And Heather interviewed President Trump yesterday on Newsmax, and it was a fascinating interview. She asked the president a very interesting question. She asked if she felt like Joe Biden was actually calling the shots, that he was the one actually in charge. Here was the quote. She says, do you think he is up for it, or do you think someone else is doing the job right now? And President Trump, with his brilliant sense of humor, and I, honest to goodness, I have never seen a president since Ronald Reagan with such a clever wit. And Trump goes and says, well, you know, it takes a lot of drive. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of enthusiasm. It's 50 hours a day. Now, you know, the mainstream media is like, President Trump thinks there's literally 50 hours. No, that's not what he's – it's a joke. It's a joke. Calm down, Dwarf King over at CNN. Oh, this is horrible. Newsmax did not call out Donald Trump when he said there was 50 hours in any day. How dare they? Horrible people. He was joking. So he says, look, it's 50 hours a day, and you understand what I mean by that. Well, of course we do, Mr. President. We get the joke. Very clever. He says, it's a lot of work. I think other people are making most of – and this is where it gets interesting. He says, I think other people are making most of the decisions. But I may be wrong about that. I don't know. I really don't know him very well. But to be honest with you, somebody's making the decisions. And he said that Biden is turning America into a – socialist country. And here's the quote. Other people are making the decisions. Do you agree with Donald Trump? And if that is in fact true, who do you think is calling the shots? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today, wherever you might be hanging out across this beautiful country of ours. So, there's a story out of North Carolina. UNC has hired a brand new basketball coach. His name is Hubert Davis. And Grace Baker, I know you are a big basketball fan.
Of course.
This is a big story. He is the first black men's basketball coach at UNC.
Okay.
This is a big deal. So anyway, they were doing the Q&A, and they asked the coach about about how big of a deal that was.
Sure.
And I want to play the audio, and then we'll talk about what happened.
It is significant, Steve. It's significant that I'm African American and I'm the head coach here. It's significant. I know that in terms of Division I head coaches all around the country, only 26% of the head coaches for Division I men's basketball are compromised by minorities, specifically African Americans. I know that it is significant that I'm the fourth African American head coach in any sport in the history of the University of North Carolina. I'm very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
Oh.
And I'm very proud that my three beautiful, unbelievable kids are a combination of both of us.
Well, so good for the coach.
Wow.
I thought it was a great thing for him to say. And the point he was trying to make is, honest, I think the point he was trying to make is,
yes,
skin color doesn't really matter.
Yes, exactly.
I'm proud of, you know, who I am, what I've accomplished, who I married, and our beautiful kids.
That took a turn I was not expecting. Not in a bad way.
No. Well, the mainstream media went bonkers over
this. Oh,
I'm
sure.
So now people were like enraged on Twitter, and there's this big controversy because,
oh my gosh,
he married a white woman.
Wow.
Why did you marry a black woman? This is what people are asking.
Seriously?
On social media.
I thought love is love, and it does not matter.
Oh, not anymore. Not anymore.
Throwing back that logic. Hello.
Someone asked the coach if he needed a bag for his wife's head, like to put a bag over.
No.
It's just horrible. Some of the things that they're saying about
gosh.
It's just horrible. People are horrible. The thing I appreciate about Twitter, though, you can pretty much tell if someone's a moron in 140 characters or less.
This
you know,
is true.
It doesn't take a lot of time anymore. Just
go
to their Twitter feed.
The cesspool of humanity.
The cesspool. That is brilliant.
That's just what I call it.
The cesspool of, you see, I like that. So I say, Coach, don't pay any attention to these morons, these yahoos.
They're just haters.
You know what? Get out there and win some basketball games.
Prove the haters wrong.
Grow up these young men that are going to be under your, you know, under your leadership, and show them how to be men, you know. And again, this is a guy that skin color doesn't matter to him.
It matters about the content of character, not the way you look.
That's it. Good. Exactly. Thank you, Grace Baker. By the way, are you a big ketchup fan?
I don't like ketchup. I never eat ketchup, so I'm not worried about this ketchup shortage. I will not be contributing to that.
I saw my family member who loves ketchup. I saw him eat an entire bottle of ketchup at one setting.
Ew, no. For French fries, ranch is my dip of choice.
Oh, so you're a ranch.
When I discovered that, I never looked back.
You see, I'm a purist. You got to have the ketchup. And it's got to be Heinz ketchup.
Okay.
So I watched a documentary. This was, during the pandemic.
About ketchup?
Yeah, about ketchup. Food that changed America. It's like on the History Channel. And it turns out the guy who created ketchup, do you know why ketchup was created?
No.
It's a great story. Back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators, you know, for meat and things of that nature. So when you ate meat, it had a very pungent odor and aftertaste. So they created what was that?
I don't know. I'm just way you described that, I was like having to think about it.
So they have so the guy came up with ketchup as a way to mask the fact that the meat tasted horrible.
That is actually hilarious.
And then you got ketchup.
There you go. You know, I heard this argument.
The more you know.
Yeah. So somebody I knew, she and her boyfriend got into this argument about ketchup, if it should go in the fridge or sit out on the table. And the boyfriend's like, well, when you go to a restaurant, it sits out on the table. And she was like, no, you got to refrigerate sauces. It was this whole thing. So that's another debate.
It's terrible.
Ketchup tastes the same to me in the fridge or on the table.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the ketchup for the French fries, but not the ranch dressing.
Meh. So do you put it on your burger?
No, I'm a mayonnaise guy on the burger.
I am a mustard.
It has to be, and our friends from North Carolina will appreciate this, it has to be either Duke's or Hellman's.
Okay.
Duke's or
gotcha.
Blue Plate.
Gotcha.
Blue Plate is a good, it's a Southern thing.
I don't like mayonnaise either.
Duke mayonnaise is the best.
Like, I don't mind if it's, like, mixed in something, but I don't like putting it on. Same with sour cream.
I got to get this story in real quick before we go. It has nothing to do with condiments.
Darn.
LSU, Louisiana State University, Jesse Hamilton had been cooking meals for the Fijis, that's Phi Gamma Delta, for years. And she's 73 years old. And she was working two other jobs. I mean, the woman. I mean, that's a lot for a 73-year-old. So one of the alumni, one of the fraternity brothers, found out about it and said, "Well, that's not right. We got to do something about this." So he called up a bunch of his other fraternity brothers, and they all chipped in a few dollars. And they decided, you know, we're going to pay off this lady's mortgage. And so on her 74th birthday, they just had this down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 74th birthday, they presented Mrs. Hamilton, who had been cooking their meals for years, presented her a check for more than $50,000. They paid off her mortgage and then gave her almost $10,000 in spending money. And it was a beautiful scene there down at LSU. And just a reminder, a lot of good people in this country doing a lot of good things. And we want to be able to salute those people, too. So good on you, the Fijis over at LSU. And God bless you, Mrs. Hamilton. I bet she cooked some good jambalaya. All right, folks, got to call it a day. Get out there. Be good, America. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow.